song that she just sang there. Her trophies and her crown. You go to a lot of services in the world today, a lot of the religious places, and their trophies are, oh, I quit smoking. Oh, I go to church on Sundays. Oh, I went down the aisle and made a decision to follow Jesus at a certain time or another. But God's people lay all that stuff down at the feet of our Jesus. You see, the only thing we have is our sinful pride. That's it. And that ain't worth nothing. But we lay what we have at the feet of our Jesus, our Savior, our King. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the 17th chapter of John. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, we read these words. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the good news. If the Lord God Almighty has convicted your heart to show you what you are before Him, broke, destitute with nothing to offer a holy thrice God, then what joy these words can bring to the hearts of His chosen people. There is no condemnation. No judgment. Yes, you are a sinner. Yet all of your sins have been laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the sins today, all of the sins before, all of the sins that you will commit have all been laid on our Savior. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. This is my title for this morning's message, In Christ. Are you with me in John chapter 17? Let's begin reading at verse 17. Sanctify them. This is our Lord Jesus Christ who is praying to His Father. He has just mentioned a moment ago that He had glory and that God had given Him the power over all flesh. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. This is our Lord in His wonderful account as our priest, as our high priest. The one who could go into the holiest of holies with blood, with His own blood, and speak to the Father and say, Lord, these are Mine. Sanctify them. Set them apart. Through Thy truth, Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them which shall believe on Me through their word. How shall we call upon the name of the Lord if we have not heard who He is? How can you believe on one whom you have never heard of? God is sending men and women out into the world this very moment to hear the good news that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Not to the whole world, but to those who are in Christ. Oh, the importance of these two words, being in Christ. That they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in Me and I in Thee. That they also may be one in us. Who is it that makes them one in us? That they may be one in us is what He's saying. He's saying, Father, sanctify them. Set them apart. He's not asking God to do something. He's not asking God the Father Do something so that they can be. Do something so they can choose to be. Do something for them that they might accept the offer. No, he's saying, sanctify them that they may be one in us. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I gave them that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Did you catch that? We know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all one, right? Now we have just a little teeny picture of what love is about. We love our children. We love our spouses. We love our family. Oh God, I wish I could love them better. We love the Lord Jesus because he first loved us. Now, if God the Father loves his Son, do you hear the Son's prayer? The Son's prayer is that the Father would love us as he loves his Son. Wow. That boggles my mind. That God the Father would love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean, as he loves his Son. There is now no condemnation, no judgment for those who are in Christ. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Love my people, Father, as you love me. Before the foundation of the world. Are we getting the picture here? Our God has loved us from before anything was ever made. All things are made for our purpose, that we might glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom all the glory belongs to. Oh, righteous Father, he continues on in verse 25, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. And what's the next thing we see? And I in them. The question you and I need to ask ourselves. This is very important. Very important question to ask. Are we in Christ? And is Christ in us? There's a lot of people who go into the world, go around the world declaring that Christ is in them. I accepted Christ, he is now in me. And to prove to you, I did something that I could not have done. I quit smoking. I quit drinking. I quit doing this. Put whatever you want in there as something you have done. That's what the world is saying. Christ is in me because I did this or I did that. And that's the wrong way to look at it. I shared this in the Bible study and I'm going to share it again because it's part of this message. I almost started preaching to you in the Bible study, by the way. We almost didn't take a break. I had a conversation with somebody this last week. And I don't know whether this person is a child of God or not. I think they may be. It doesn't matter. I can't see the hearts of men and women. I don't even know if you are, to be really honest with you. I think so. But I can't see your heart. Only God can see that heart. So therefore, I'm speaking to anyone who will hear these words. This man talked to me about how we need to be an ensample. We need to be an example to the world and not use cuss words and not drink alcohol and not smoke and not do this and not... And you can go on again, just like I did a minute ago, and put whatever you want into that. But that's the example the world is. And that's exactly how the world looks at him, as being holier than thou. Oh, okay, so now you're a holy person. You don't do that anymore. No, the examples that we need to be is this. I believe God. I believe my Savior when He says, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. I believe my Savior when He says, I have nothing. No crown. No righteousness of my own. What I thought I had, I lay it at the feet of Him who is righteous. Of Him who has the crown. I cannot answer this question for you, folks. You have to ask this question yourself. Am I in Christ? Is Christ in me? And the answer is actually very, very simple. It's so simple, it's right here in the verses. It's actually a verse that many take and use for a universal redemption. How can you say that Jesus died for everybody? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And see, that whosoever means it's an offer. But they're missing the vital point. The whosoever is meaning actually nobody. The whosoever believeth is the point. That's the answer. Do you believe? That's the difference between you and I and the world that says that they're Christians. We know that there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. We know that we have no crown worthy to put to offer as a gift to our Lord and Savior. We have no righteousness of our own. If God is doing anything in me, it's to God be the glory. All I can do is believe. And that belief is a gift that God has given me. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Whosoever believeth on Him, that's the answer to is Jesus Christ in you. Because in order to believe the truths of this book, Christ must be in us. The preaching to the world is foolishness. How dare you tell me that my will doesn't have a part of it? How dare you say that I don't have something to say about my... I'm not this robot. That's what the world will say to us. God makes us willing in the day of His power. That's what He tells us in the Word. And the question is, do we believe the Word of God? Do you believe the Word of God? In the first chapter of John, we read, I'm going to get to you with Ephesians in just a moment. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Do we believe God's Word? That's the question. Is Christ in us? Is Christ in me? Do I believe what God has written here about Himself? That Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, the Creator of everything that was, He who has all power, do I believe that He was made flesh? Yes, I do. In 1 John 5:7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Do I believe? Is Christ in me? Yes, I believe in the three in one. I can't explain it to you. I can't tell you why this is true, but I can tell you that God's Word says it is so. And that's what I'm here to do this morning, is to tell you this is God's Word. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. In chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." If you are in Christ, then you will believe His Word, for His Word is truth. Isn't that what we read in John, in the 17th chapter just a moment ago? When our Lord was speaking to the Father and said, "Your Word is truth." We hear all kinds of stuff in the world, don't we? You want to know something that's true? You come right here to God's Word, and every bit of it is true. We must worship in spirit and in truth. Don Fortner wrote a book on the doctrines, basic Bible doctrines, and I've been reading it with Kathy as much as we can in the mornings before I go to work. And he brought something out on in the chapter that we're in that just blessed me greatly. I want to share with you. He was talking about pieces of the puzzle. As we're going through God's Word, we see a little piece of the puzzle over here. We see another little piece of the puzzle over there. We see another piece of the puzzle right here. The picture I'm trying to point to you to here is that God's Word is a puzzle, and the whole puzzle makes one picture. If you leave one little bit out, election, you leave that out, you've left a picture, a part of the picture out, haven't you? If you leave out the doctrine of sovereignty, God's ruling over everything, if you leave that little bit out, then you don't have the whole picture, do you? If you leave the depravity of man out of the picture, then you don't have the whole picture. You just got a part of a picture. It's important that we see all the counsel of God. And this is the counsel of God. If you are in Christ, then you will believe the declaration of total depravity. In Romans 5:12 it says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." In the third chapter, verse 11, it says, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." In the eighth chapter, verse 7, it says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Are you with me in Ephesians? Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature." Whosoever believeth. By nature, it wasn't us, was it? By nature, the children of wrath, even as others. If you're in Christ, then you will believe the declaration of unconditional election. In Mark 13:20, "And except," our Lord speaking here, "and except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days." He didn't say for the whole world, did he? No, he said for the elect's sake he has shortened those days. In John 15:16 it says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." Are you with me in Ephesians still? Look at chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Where? In Christ. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him." Do you see election? This is God's word, folks. This isn't something that I'm making up. I'm showing you right here in God's word. Do you believe God's word? Christ in us. If you are in Christ, then you will believe this declaration of limited atonement. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 12, "Neither by blood of goats or cows, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes and heifer sprinkling and the unclean, if that sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how much more shall it purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God?" In John chapter 6 we read, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Now, we're not actually drinking blood or anything like that. Our Lord is referring to the table that we come to in remembrance of him. Taking into our bodies, taking into our souls, the fact that he went to the cross and died for us. Do you believe God's word? He says it right there. "Those who drinketh my blood, eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me and I in them." Again, in Ephesians 1, verses 5 through 7, "Having predestinated in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherewith he had made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." If we are in Jesus Christ, and if Jesus Christ is in us, we believe his word. And right there, his word declares his blood was shed for a people. The effectual blood of God was shed on that cross. Not blood that offers a possibility, but blood that declares salvation is of the Lord, as the last Sunday's message was. If you are in Christ, then you will believe the declaration of the irresistible call. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, we read, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light." In John 10, verse 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine." But, and then in 26 he says, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." If Christ has taken up residence in your heart, you will hear his voice. You will hear the truths of Scripture. You will see the picture coming together as we go through and read the Word of God, as we go through and look at the different things that our Lord talks about himself. He will expound these scriptures and show us the picture of his salvation for his people. Again, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. This is the irresistible call. The call of power. The call that each and every one of you and I have gone through and experienced. If we are in Christ. And if Christ is in us. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power. Irresistible calling. If you are in Christ, you have heard the call. Lazarus was in Christ before he heard the call. God had to put life in him in order for anything to happen, for him to even hear that call. And as I said last week, Lazarus came forth bound. That's the power of God in the calling, in the irresistible call to his people. If you are in Christ, then you will believe the declaration of perseverance of the saints. You cannot lose your salvation. If God meant you to be saved, you shall be saved. There will be no empty seats in heaven. Otherwise, the salvation of God was worthless on the cross. That's not the God we see in Scripture, is it? The God we see in Scripture in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ is the God of all power, sovereign ruler over everything. In John 17:12, we read, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. That thou, those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost." That's the Lord Jesus saying that. He's doing the same thing today, folks. He's doing it right here in his word. He's telling you right here in his word that I have kept you. And none of you shall be lost. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, he said. In 1 Peter 1, 2, it says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who was obedient to everything God commanded. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance, incorruptible. It can't be taken away. It's not defiled. It's an inheritance. It's perfect. Just as all things that God does is perfect. And it doesn't fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. For you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Again, we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ." Are you in Christ this morning? Am I in Christ? I believe God's word. I believe that I was saved by the power of God through Jesus Christ, my Savior. And if it wasn't for him, I'd still be lost and on my way to hell, which is what I deserve. Reserved, raised in him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. far above all principality and power. My Lord Jesus Christ is sitting right now on his throne saying, you can't have this one, this one's mine. I shed my blood for this one. My perfect blood paid the price of this one. Far above all principalities and powers, nothing can separate us from the love that is in Jesus Christ. And might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church, the called out, the congregation, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Folks, if we are in Christ, then we were in him before the foundation of the world. Before a star ever twinkled in the sky, God looked upon each and every one of his people and said, you're mine. And nothing will pluck you out of my hand. Not even you. My love is greater than your will. That's so precious to me. I don't know about you folks, but that is so precious to me. Because I remember what my will was at one time. And the Lord moved in. He moved into John, cutting away that old stony heart that said, I will not have this man rule over me. And he gave me a new heart. A new vessel that bows to the will of God willingly. If we are in Christ, we have been there since the foundation of the world. We were in Christ when he went to that cross. God the Father made God the Son sin. He made our Savior our sin. He who is perfect in everything bore our sins upon himself as he went to that cross. If we are in Christ, then we are in him right now where he is. And that's on his throne of glory. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, through Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ this morning? If so, then he is in you and his promises are sure. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope. If you are not in Christ, and Christ is not in you, you have no hope. But if you are in Christ, And if He is in you, then we have all the hope in the world. We have a great hope. A hope of salvation, a hope of a place in heaven, a hope of eternal life. Whosoever believeth in Me, the Lord says, shall have eternal life. Do you believe? That's the difference between us and the world. It's not our works. It's not what we do. It's not what we've quit doing. It's what we believe, and we believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is in us. Because He has given us that gift of faith. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see where all the glory goes, folks? This is what we do on Sunday mornings. This is our purpose for coming here. Our purpose is to come here and glorify our Lord and Savior for what He's done for us. And it's because He is in us. And we are in Him. That's His promise. That's something you can count on. That's something you can stand on. In fact, let's stand and sing about that very thing. Stand.